You're listening to 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio.
Hi, this is Frank Schaefer, author of Sex, Mom, and God. You're listening to Carson's Corner, a show I enjoy. I hope you enjoy it, too. I encourage you to listen.
Hi, this is Stuart Acuff with Utility Workers Union of America, asking you to tune in every time you can to Bob Carson's Carson's Corner, one of the best pro-labor shows in America. We love it at Utility Workers. We love it across the AFL-CIO, and we're grateful to Bob for coming on and holding up our issues and holding up our principles and values.
This is Lamar Waldron, the author of Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, those two books, the latter of which will become a movie produced and starring Leonardo DiCaprio in 2013. And you are listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio.
This is Greg Palast, BBC Television and Democracy Now! Reporter, author of Vulture's Picnic, in Pursuit of Petroleum Pirates. This is Greg Palast, reporter for BBC Television and Democracy Now! And author of the new book, Vulture's Picnic, in Pursuit of Petroleum Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores. And you're listening to Carson's Corner on 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio. Radio for the 99%. Help us occupy the airwaves and support Carson's Corner and support 5:30 Underground Progressive Radio.
Welcome live to another great edition of Carson's Corner right here on Underground Progressive Radio, 5:30 a.m. and streaming live on Blog Talk Radio. As always, my co-host Justin Ray Harvey, J. Ray, joins us today. Justin, are you ready for another great show?
I am ready, brother. Let's do this. We know how to do this, so let's do this.
Before we start, we have a bit of an announcement here. Carson's Corner is going to be introducing a new affiliate. We're going to be heard on, I guess, another radio station, and Justin has all the details. Why don't you give the audience the details?
Okay. It's the station is called Speak Your Mind Radio. It's a station for the disabled and also awareness for the disabled and also for the missing and abducted. So big, big stuff there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your progressive radio hosts need any type of exposure. We thank the folks at this great radio station for broadcasting our show. And, again, thank you. We have a great show today. We're very, very excited to have Lee Camp with us. You've seen this guy everywhere. You've seen him on MSNBC's Countdown. You've seen him on Showtime. You've heard him on the radio before. He was even on Fox and Friends a couple years ago. And he had a very, very captivating appearance on Fox and Friends, where he rightly referred to them, I believe, as a propaganda outlet or something to that effect. And he's absolutely right. Lee Camp is going to be joining us here. And if you want to be a part of the program for the fans out there, 347-326-9749. 347-326-9749. Lee, welcome to Carson's Corner. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem, man. No problem at all. We're so excited to have you on the show. Last week we debuted your Moment of Clarity, and I got to tell you, it was 2 or 3 minutes of just insightful and humorous material that I think all of us can learn from. What inspired you really to get involved, with politics and sort of, rant your populist beliefs?
Well, yeah, I'm a stand-up comedian by trade, so really it started as stand-up comedy, and then I kind of segued as my career went on to still doing, I mean, it's still stand-up, but it's stand-up with a message, and it came about through both a newfound political awareness, you know, kind of just studying up on the issues and realizing that corporations really do own our country in more ways than one. And it was that combined with the idea that there aren't many places really that people pay to see someone speak their mind anymore. It doesn't really happen that people will pay to both be entertained and hear you say something about what's going on in the world. And so I figured if I was going to be given the gift to stand on this stage and people were going to pay to come see it, then I should be making them laugh because that's my job, but I should also be saying something that mattered. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, it's – would you say that most of the comedians – I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to say this, but would based on your experience, I mean, you've been around a lot of stand-up comics and whatnot. Would you say that most of the comedians out there are on the left side of the spectrum?
I'd say it's a combination of left and uninformed or one or the other. Either they are left-wing or they're kind of uninformed with the issues, which is fine. I mean, or it's not fine, but it's not unusual. I mean, most of America, I think, is uninformed about a lot of these things. So really, they just kind of fit in with the regular population in that sense. But in terms of right-wingers, there's not a whole lot of right-wing comedians, and there's even fewer that talk about it on stage. Part of the reason for that is it often comes across as more painful to hear someone tear down the poor or tear down helping people out, which seems to be the kind of the field of the right wing. And so it's just harder, I think, to be funny from a right wing point of view.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And what we see now is Fox News, of course, they showcase some of these so-called right wing comedians, a guy like Steven Crowder from Canada, I believe, and Greg Gutfeld and some of these other guys. And I can't watch them. Their message is just too rigid for me. But you know, you got to give credit to Fox News for trying to pump out these right-wing comedians, you know?
Well, that's true, and it's too bad the left doesn't have as – I mean, I guess they have a little bit, but they don't have as much of a mouthpiece that's trying to create kind of a younger generation of both comedians and speakers and those kind of things. So it is – Fox News does a great job of that, of kind of creating the next wave of people that are going to spit this, you know, tripe propaganda crap.
You know what's funny, too, about the right wing is when they try to delve into, like, comedy. Like, remember a couple of years ago, Chris Farley's brother did that TV or that movie called American Carol or something like that. And it was this big right wing comedy movie with like Bill O'Reilly, and they were taking shots at Michael Moore. It just flopped out. It flopped out at the box office. And you know, when they try to do comedy, the right wing, they really can't do it. You know, and I think that's good in a way. I really do, because they have a monopoly on so many different industries out there, and they have so many different ways to get their message, as you know, Lee, that we're really up against, we're really, you know, going uphill here. Tell us about your latest or upcoming moment of clarity. What are the issues you're going to be? I know on your Facebook page you just posted something that you're going to be on a show tomorrow discussing some issues. What can people look forward to from you in the future?
For those people who don't know, Moment of Clarity is about 3 or 4 minute rant twice a week that I put up on YouTube, and people can get it at leecamp.net. And it then also became a podcast and a book. But basically, I just take the issues of the day and I kind of try and make them funny, but at the same time making a point. And I've talked a lot about Occupy because I think it's incredibly important, and incredibly important for people to be standing up and you know, because we've all just accepted this corporate raping and pillaging of the world like it's a Black Eyed Peas song.
Right.
You know, we're like, well, it's gonna be around for a while. Might as well pretend like we like it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's a lot of that going on, and people, you just got it. I just feel like people have to stand up. People have to say something, you know, even if I disagree with the person, at least they're standing up for something. And because there are no ambivalence rallies, you know, there's no protest for that. What do we want? We don't know. When do we want it? You tell us. It doesn't really exist. So I'd say that's the general theme of my stuff, but really I go all over the map. You know, this last one I put up yesterday was about the Google Glasses, the technology that's coming out in a year, and how much easier it would make for Homeland Security to track us if they can see everything we're looking at. But
I think that's coming down the pike. And you mentioned the Occupy protests. You know, I don't see a lot of coverage. It seems as though the corporate-driven media has declared the Occupy protests as dead, and now we're just not getting a lot of coverage on the protests. What is your opinion on the state of the Occupy protests?
Yeah, I don't think it's dead at all, and I think May 1st is going to be a big day. May 1st, they're calling for a general strike, kind of global strike, to kind of prove the power of the 99%, you know, telling people not to shop or go to work. And I think it's and that proves that things are changing. Occupy is adapting. It's always growing and changing. And so, yeah, the encampments was the thing for a while, and once everybody was arrested and pepper sprayed, it's moved on to different ways of being active. But you know, if you look at hashtag Occupy on Twitter, it's
right.
Still a steady, endless stream of comments, meaning people are talking about this. It's just that the media, which is still, you know, largely owned by large corporations, doesn't really want it to be a big thing. They want it to kind of disappear. And, you know, people have to keep in mind that things like the civil rights movement took 10 years. I mean, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. And the truth is, what Occupy achieved in the first 4 months, changing the conversation in this country, getting the entire country to start talking about the income disparity, I think that was huge. I think that's a huge achievement, and to act like it didn't achieve anything is laughable.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And my hope for the Occupy movement is to pull the Democratic Party to the left, and let's get some true progressives in there, because unfortunately, and I think you would agree with this, Lee, that the two major parties now are almost indistinguishable from each other. I mean, I think, you know, when you have the Republican Party, you have a group of radicals that are beholden to the top 1% of income earners, and they make no bones about it. They have a very, very oppressive agenda when it comes to workers, when it comes to women, and when it comes to minority, and it's all about the top 1%. And then in the Democratic Party, you know, you have many, certainly not a majority, but a significant minority that really adhere to those same values. So then, you know, it becomes like what Karl Marx said, when election time, it's you're voting for which party least oppresses you. And that's my hope, is that the Occupy protests really the Occupy movement infiltrates the Democratic Party like the Tea Party movement did to the Republican Party, and really, you know, captures the Democratic Party. Do you see that? Do you think that's a
yeah.
possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a possibility, and I think you're absolutely right. I think that the Democratic Party is essentially the same as the Republican on the biggest issues, on issues like war and like corporations and Wall Street, and so they're the same on the biggest issues. And yeah, you get some differences in terms of like being pro-choice and pro-women and that kind of thing, but you know, how long is the left wing going to be dragged to the right simply for the smaller issues? I think that if nothing else, Occupy should continue to pull the Democrats force them to actually be left wingers. And the other thing that needs to happen is get the money out of the politics, because as long as it takes, you know, $7 million to win a representative seat, then and you know $1 billion to win the presidency, then no average person is going to be able to win these contests and actually represent the people.
Yeah, I just I have one point that I want to throw out to Justin here. He's a big fan of yours, and he's got some questions for you. I think that I've always said on this show that income inequality is going to trump all. As we continue to be a tremendously unequal society, and as we continue to have land ownership be the equivalent of what we saw in feudal times, something's going to break. The levee is going to break. I mean, workers cannot possibly work anymore in America. We cannot possibly sacrifice anymore. I mean, you look at the debt, you look at the quality of life. All these different things are tangible results of a country that has been just completely hijacked by corporate interest. I mean, you know, during the Great Depression or after the Great Depression, Americans really understood what happened, and they really felt the pain of the Roaring Twenties, in which, you know, three Republican presidents in a row just cut taxes and deregulated everything. And then once they experienced the pain on a huge scale, they wanted to reform and regulate these corporations and tax the wealthy. And after that, we saw just decades of prosperity. And I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner or later. Americans are going to wake up, and you're going to have the most ardent Tea Party supporter, basically sounding like us once they get it. Justin, you have some questions for Lee. Chime in if you would.
Well, my first question would be, do you think we'll get to a point where nobody will vote? Because every time we're getting somebody in, it's somebody corrupt. That'll be my first question. Do you think that eventually people will stand together and finally say, okay, we're not going to vote for any of the candidates until we get somebody that's honest in there?
I mean, I guess my hope would be that everybody would band together and vote for some of the candidates that are out there, you know, whether it be the Green Party or, you know, some of these candidates that you don't actually see getting a lot of support, but they actually do exist. They're just not. And so the truth is, I disagree with Ron Paul on a lot of things, but what he did show is that the mainstream media can smash a candidate, can never talk to them, can act like they're not in the race, and yet if enough people really stand up and get behind him, they can keep being in the race. They can make a run for it, even with all the money, even with the media ignoring them. And so I think if Ron Paul can get as far as he did and as many votes as he did, then I think that rather than not voting, it'd be nice if everyone would band together and vote for, like you said, someone that's actually a good candidate. And, you know, getting money out of the system would be a definite starting point to that.
Okay. What inspired you to do your comic the way you do? Because there's no other comics like you. I mean, what inspired you to do politics in your...
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that sentiment. I kind of became politically aware, like more so. I mean, I was a Democrat, but I didn't really know what was going on until I was, 23, 24. And then I started talking about these things, and I think things started getting worse and worse. And once you kind of really know what's going on, once you kind of understand how the system's rigged, it's tough to stay silent. I mean, that's my view on it. And mm-hmm. That's why making people informed is half the battle, because once you hear the truth, once you know what's going on in this country and in the world largely, it's tough not to stand up and punch apathy in the balls. And I hope that more people will continue to do that. But so my way of doing it, and I think everybody has their different, something different give to the movement and to various movements to change these things. My talent, what I had going was comedy. And so combining it with comedy was really all I really knew how to do. And so I've been doing it that way, and you're right. There aren't a lot of comedians doing what I do. I hope that there will continue to be more, and that more comics will step up to the plate in that way. Not that I don't take anything away from comedy that's not political. I'm a huge Stephen Wright fan, for example. So there's plenty of great comics that aren't political, but I do wish you'd see more, definitely.
Absolutely. And Bob, if you want to go ahead and chime in, you can, brother. So.
Yeah, I'm just listening, you're right on the money, and you think of guys like George Carlin. I'm sure that you are great admirer of George. I mean, George Carlin. I tell you, I've never met a non-George Carlin fan. I know people, Lee, that look at George Carlin like he's a god, and many people, feel that way because he's been talking about these issues. He was talking about these issues for years, and he was so brilliant, such a smart guy, and delivered it his message in such a way that even a lot of right wingers I think would be fans of George Carlin.
Yeah, he's still got an amazing number of fans, and I've been incredibly lucky that I've been able to become friendly with his daughter Kelly Carlin.
Wow.
And she did the intro to my last stand up CD called Chaos for the Weary, and it was just an amazing moment and it was after he was gone, he had already died, but it was just an amazing moment to have her there and say a few words before the show and he's a huge example just to a lot of comedians of saying something important and making it funny. And just continuing to work at stand-up for so many years and really honing the craft and working on it and always making it new and different and challenging yourself. And I think those things are very important, And so the fans that he and largely Bill Hicks have hearing people say that they love my video and they also love Bill Hicks and George Carlin is just – it's a very cool thing for me and quite a privilege to even just be working in the same art as those guys that came before me. And, a lot of people don't know that the battles that people like Carlin and Lenny Bruce had to fight in order to allow people like me to speak our minds. I mean, Carlin's Seven Dirty Words went to the Supreme Court, and Lenny Bruce was largely arrested for saying what he did on stage. He's arrested on stage for saying these things. And they largely drove him to his death because they bankrupted him with court fees and put him in jail and it ultimately killed him. So what they did to lead the way is really incredible, and I will never stop mentioning that and calling people's attention to that.
Lee, I look at individuals like yourself and George Carlin and Lenny Bruce and some of these other comedians, and I feel closer to you. Because I this is the first time you're on a show, and you and I haven't met but more than like a week ago. We've exchanged emails, so like we really don't know each other. And Justin, the three of us are kind of unfamiliar with each other. Justin is a disabled activist. He has severe cerebral palsy. Him and I met through Frank Dukes, who the movie Bloodsport was based after, and Justin and I have been co-hosting the show for several months now. But the thing that really unites myself and Justin, and probably yourself too, is that we're all working class guys. We're all guys that are afflicted by our economic policies, which are not designed to benefit us. I mean, our tax policies. That's the core of our democracy, tax law, and our tax law is written for and by the wealthy. And so as a result, I'm a worker, Justin's a worker, we're struggling, this is America. And I see people like Jon Stewart, and I see people like Rachel Maddow. And look, I know they have a lot of fan base, and I know a lot of people like them, and I'm not saying that what they do produces no value. I just feel disconnected from them. I feel that, like, me going through what I'm going through, working at just a low-wage job, going through college, working on a master's degree, I know that someone like Jon Stewart or Rachel Maddow have no connection to me. I know that they're not living in the same world as I do. And that's what sort of frustrates me about some of the progressive pundits out there is that, they mean well and they're more sympathetic to our plight. But really, when you boil it down, they're all part of the 1%. They're all part of the top 1%. They're all living the lifestyles maybe not exclusively, but in some part of you know, the Dick Cheney's of the world, or you know, any Fox News pundit, and there's just a divide out there. There really is, and you know, it's frustrating to me because nobody, yeah. I feel that nobody can empathize with me that's on television or radio. I always say to my audience, don't watch TV or don't watch radio because you're just watching millionaires talk to millionaires. You know, you turn on the Sunday shows, ABC's This Week, NBC's Meet the Press, it's just millionaires talking to millionaires, you know?
Right. And I totally hear what you're saying, and I agree with a lot of it. I do think that some of them are able to hang on to what they were before they got that big deal on a big show.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good example is Michael Moore, and even though some people disagree with various things he's done, I think he's done a good job in terms of his message, and you know, I can't speak about who he is personally, but in terms of his message, I think he's done a good job of continuing to stick with the working class message that he grew up with. And, you know, someone like Cenk Uygur at the Young Turks, you know, he's a good example of a guy who has a great message and then was offered that deal at NBC and went and took it saying,
yep.
I'm going to keep saying what I want to say, and ultimately had to leave because they told him yes. And then when he showed up, they said, no, you're not going to say what you want to say.
Yeah.
And so, you know, hopefully there are at least a few little shining lights here and there of people that can kind of infiltrate the mainstream media by getting that big show and still sticking true to themselves. And luckily, we do have kind of an alternative media that's growing and bubbling and creating people like you that people can listen to and are working class people, you know?
Yeah, and another show is the Dissident Rags. I know you've done some work with them, and I'm friends with them on Facebook page, or I'm friends with them on Facebook. But you mentioned Cenk Uygur, and it's a great, great point, because Cenk Uygur, of course, was on MSNBC. MSNBC, I think I wouldn't categorize them as a liberal network because they're owned essentially by Comcast, and as you pointed out earlier, the media is comprised of corporations, and corporations are committed to certain economic policies and so on and so forth. But you know, you look at Cenk Uygur, and this is a guy who wouldn't toe the party line. He spoke out against President Obama. And I want to see more of that, but you know what? You won't see that on mainstream cable news networks. You won't see a guy like Ed Schultz say, you know what? I can't support President Obama. President Obama has been more conservative than George W. Bush. Cenk Uygur posted on his Facebook page last week how income inequality, economic inequality has accelerated more so under Obama than was the case during the last 8 years of the Bush administration. He had, you know, different reasons for this, and he explained them. But, you know, like no MSNBC host would say that. And it's just it's like I want someone to take a position regardless of their career. I want someone to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't support President Obama. He has not governed as a progressive, and my vote is not unconditional. My support is unconditional. I can't support him. I got to tell the truth about him. That won't happen because that person will be out of a job. And that's what we need more of on the progressive side. We need more people that say, you know what, more people like Cenk Uygur to say, I'm going to speak my mind regardless of you know,
right,
where I'm at.
Right. But I think you have two things at work there. One is they don't want to let go of the deal. They don't want to say something that could get them in trouble. But I also think even outside of the media, what you deal with people fully turning their back against Obama is a fear of, yeah, I disagree with him on so much, and I've been so disappointed on Wall Street and on Afghanistan and so many other areas, but I am afraid that a woman's right to choose will get taken away, or
right,
that you know, gay marriage rights where we have them will get taken away. And so I think and that's just a general fear, I think, in a lot of America. It's like, I disagree with him, or I think he's wrong in so many areas. But like I mentioned earlier, there's those little tiny social left-wing things that don't matter to corporations. Corporations don't give a crap whether a woman has a right to choose or not.
Right.
You know, and that's why there can still be a difference between the two parties on those little things. But the problem is it makes it so that people kind of have cover to say, well, I'm still voting for him.
Yeah, well, I ultimately I think he's going to get reelected because precisely because he's been a crafty politician. Obama, for the last 4 years, has tried, or especially since the 2010 midterm elections, has really tried to appear like the last rational man in Washington D.C. As opposed to when he first came into office, really enacting a progressive agenda that changes the fundamentals of the economy. And you know, I have progressive bumper stickers. I have a bumper sticker that says "Beat the Rich." It's a self-made bumper sticker, and I have a bumper sticker that says "Turn off Fox News." And people, you know, approach me all the time when I'm at the park or whatever and say, how can you defend Obama? How can you know, this guy's so liberal. And then when I rattle off his policy initiatives, when I tell these people who's in his administration or who he right. appoints to, the deficit commission, this and that, they're like, they said on Fox News he's a liberal and I'm supposed to believe he's a liberal, you know, this and that. Right. You know, it's just it's
a
really
socialist even.
Yeah, it's a Kenyan Marxist socialist Maoist. Even though big business is just booming. I mean, Robert Reich wrote a great article on Huffington Post. I'm probably going to read it a little later on in light of Tax Day. You know, he just really hammered it. But you know, look, I mean, these are the issues we face. You're absolutely right. I think a lot of people are fearful of the Republican Party, of the Tea Party brand, and a lot of people are going to be ambivalent about Mitt Romney because of his various different, you know, flip flops, and he's just not an average guy, and this and that. And so it'll be 4 more years, most likely, President Obama. The only difference is, or the only thing is, will Obama, really govern as a progressive? And I think we're starting to see some positive signs, you know, with this come out of these futures trading office, you know, how he wants to go after the oil speculators. That's good news. But we shall see. Lee, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. This is a very, very provocative discussion, and we're going to be playing your YouTube clips, your Moment of Clarity clips, every week here on Carson's Corner, because I think they're very poignant. I think you bring a lot to the table, and your comedic delivery is something that our audience certainly appreciates. We debuted it last week, and we got some really, really good feedback. And LeeCamp.net is the website. Is there anywhere else that you want to direct people to?
My Twitter is at Lee Camp, and same with Facebook. And yeah, people can subscribe to the YouTube channel. They can find it at LeeCamp.net. It's all free, and the podcast is free too, Moment of Clarity. And then I have a book and an album. I also have a new album coming out end of May. It's called Pepper Spray the Tears Away. So that'll be out soon. And the book is called Moment of Clarity as well. So I hope people will check it out.
Yeah, people can get that on your website.
Yeah, my website, and then most websites that have ebooks, it's also available there.
Well, I'm going to get this. Mark my words. I'm going to get this, and I'm going to I'll tell my audience. I'll go over some chapters and whatnot, and it's very, very important. Justin, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to say, is it available through iTunes as well?
Yes, I believe the book is just now on iTunes, and the podcast is on iTunes as well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Lee, thank you very much for joining us, and please come back on the show. I had a lot of fun, man. I could picture us doing some more shows in the future.
Quite a pleasure. I'd love to come back and keep doing what you're doing. You know, you guys are so important.
Thanks a lot, Lee. Take care, brother.
Later.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Lee Camp. Justin, I really enjoyed that conversation. I really did. I think we could have probably went for the full hour, and I don't want to take up anybody's time. But I got to tell you, it was a really, really good conversation. He brought out some really, really good points. And, you know, I mean, it's good to talk to someone that understands what we're going through and can identify with our frustrations.
Absolutely, Bob. I mean, I had a blast. I mean, it seemed like we just got on the phone with the guy, and, you know, here we are halfway through the show, you know?
That's right, exactly. Time flies while you're having fun. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to go over this Robert Reich article with everybody. It's a very, very short article that he posted on the Huffington Post. I'm going to just read some of it and give my analysis, and Justin, of course, will do so as well. And we'll be right back here in Carson's Corner on Underground Progressive Radio, 5:30 a.m. Keep it right here. Don't touch that dial, folks.
Hello, my name is Jim Gray, and I am a judge of the Superior Court in California and a former federal prosecutor in Los Angeles. I would like to talk to you for a moment about marijuana. Did you know that since the federal government first banned marijuana in 1937, usage in this country has actually gone up by about 4,000%? Or did you know that in the Netherlands, where adults are allowed to possess small amounts of marijuana and buy it from government-regulated businesses, fewer adults and fewer teenagers smoke marijuana than here in our country? Or that an American is arrested on marijuana charges every 38 seconds? If you are wondering if any of this makes sense, you are not alone. To find out more, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org. Thank you and good luck to us all.
Hi, this is Frank Schaefer, author of Sex, Mom, and God. You're listening to Carson's Corner, a show I enjoy. I hope you enjoy it, too. I encourage you to listen.
You're listening to 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio.
We're back live here on Underground Progressive Radio, 5:30 a.m. This is Carson's Corner. I'm your host, Bob Carson, and as always, J-Ray. Justin Ray Harvey is with us here today. Kumite, that's all I have to say, Justin. Kumite, kumite, boom.
Absolutely, Bob. Absolutely.
I love that song. I love the beat, bump, bump, but such an 80s beat, bump, better than bump, bump. Such a solid, pounding beat for two minutes and 40 seconds. Stan Bush delivers a great song in Fight to Survive. This is a fight to survive. That's why I play that song. It's like, we're all in a fight to survive here, okay? And not everybody is in that fight. Not everybody is experiencing what we're experiencing in life. And, you know, the individuals that are not experiencing what we're going through, maybe they give lip service to us, they do not have any credibility in my mind, okay? We have something like 535, I think, representatives in Congress, something along those lines, 535, right? And each one of these representatives, about half of them are millionaires, okay? Each one of these representatives, they're not mingling with people like us. They're talking with, you know, other people of the same backgrounds and of the same setting, like, you know, the lawyers and physicians and businessmen, this and that. They're not listening to Justin Ray Harvey. They're not listening to Bob Carson. We're in two separate worlds. And then, as Lee was talking about, you know, you factor in money in politics, and you have lobbyists. Like, for example, for every member of Congress, there's something like, you know, 500 lobbyists. We have 40,000 lobbyists in America. 40,000 lobbyists in America, and they're all swarming our elected officials. You've got regulatory capture. You've got all these things that serve as a barrier between us and our elected officials, and then it's no wonder why our country's gone so far to the right and so business friendly. It's no wonder why we have a Congress who the other day shot down the Buffett rule, which would make people like Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, at one point had a $60 billion fortune, maybe even more, pay an equal amount of his income to the government for taxes as his secretary. This is no wonder why we're not being represented at all. And this is, you know, why Congress has a 9% approval rating. The difference between people like me, you, and Lee, and the audience and the teabaggers out there is, as Lee said, it's information. It's being informed. You and me and Lee and everybody that's listening to the show is informed about the issues. We understand that it's not government. Okay, the problem is not that we have a cop on the beat. The problem is not that we have government regulation. The problem is that our government has been infiltrated by capital. That is the problem. And capital is controlling our government and waging a war against its natural adversary, labor. And for 30 years, we've had this war between labor and capital. And capital is destroying us because, you know, capital can aggregate. I mean, capital can do anything. Labor can't. And we have to, you know, acknowledge this. We do, but we have to make sure everybody else acknowledges it, so therefore we could organize around capital and contain capital, just like we saw, you know, after the Great Depression, after, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, gave us the New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now I want to go to Robert Reich. I want to try to get this guy on the show. I'm telling you, I've read many of his books. He's a great economist, and it's no wonder that Robert Reich is not in the Obama administration. You know, Obama didn't want to pick Robert Reich because that would signal to big business that Obama's actually a progressive, and therefore. He doesn't want that to happen, so, you know, he'll pick people like Timothy Geithner or whatever. But Robert Reich is a true progressive. He is a professor. Well, he was the former labor secretary under Bill Clinton, was voted or one of the greatest labor secretaries of our time, according to, I think it was Time magazine. He's a professor at Berkeley, and he's got a new book, Beyond Outrage, which I'm going to get. Take my word for it. I'm going to buy this book. He writes, as Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote in 1904, taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. But the wealthiest Americans, who haven't raked in as much of America's income and wealth since 1920 are paying a lower effective tax rate than they have in over 30 years, even though America faces a mammoth federal budget deficit, even though public services at all levels of government continue to be slashed, even though the median wage is dropping, adjusted for inflation, even though the typical American is paying more of his earnings in taxes, including payroll taxes, sales taxes, and property taxes, than ever before. Right there, that whole paragraph gave you so much information. It was so informative and so dead on that I don't even know where to begin. Let's take the first line. Taxes are the prices we are the price we pay for a civilized society. If you ever talk to one of these entrepreneurs, one of these real Ayn Rand top 1% entrepreneurs, self-made guys, oh, I'm a self-made man, this and that, ask them, do they have roads? Do they have public roads around their business? Do they have plumbing? Do they have electricity? Do they have a court system that protects their assets? Do they have a limited liability status? Do they have certain tax privileges? And the answer to all those questions are yes, they do. And that is what taxes bring to a society. They bring civility. They bring an infrastructure. They bring everything to make the businessman's life very, very good, very well, okay? And that is, you know, what we do. We have to pay taxes to have a civilized society. And I don't look at taxes as a burden. I don't. I know it's been – that's the meme out there pushed by the right-wing think tanks. Oh, tax burden. You know, we've got the phrases like tax burden and this and that embedded in our vocabulary. But really, they're not burdens because everybody, I think – understands that we need services from the government.
Yeah, not everybody understands that, Bob, and it's people like us that need to get the word out.
Exactly. I say it before, I've said it before and I'll say it again. We need a cop on the beat, okay? The cop on the beat is government. Government is we the people. Okay, we elect our government and you know, we supposedly choose who represents us, and we need government protection. We need regulatory agencies. We need regulations to, you know, come between us and harm and death and you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, many of the institutions of government, I mean, many of our government's best programs like Social Security, like Medicare, like Veterans Administration, fill in the blank, were created out of this idea that the government should be working on behalf of the general public. And it's in the general public's interest to have Social Security, a retirement a benefit when people retire, or Medicare, health services to people that reach over 65, or veterans care, health services for people that have served in our military. This is what the cop on the beat delivers to you. This is what taxpayer money goes to. And if we didn't have these programs, our quality of life would just be completely off the rails. These programs were developed because of high poverty and a deteriorating quality of life. And so, you know, this is what we understand. The Tea Party people don't understand that because they're absorbing they're getting their media from Fox News and right-wing talk radio. The very, very forces that are funded by the very forces that are bankrupting this country. He talks about Robert Reich. I'm not a class warrior. I'm a class worrier. And my worries go to why all this has happened. Key term there, class warrior, right? Anybody that talks about how the wealthy are not paying taxes in America. Anybody who talks about how the fact that corporations are paying next to nothing in taxes, our corporate tax burden is the second lowest in the world. Anybody that talks about the exploitations of capital and the war on workers is waging class warfare, right? So when somebody accuses you of class warfare, you're just supposed to shut up and just go with the status quo. You're just supposed to just say, okay, I submit. This is the free market. This is the way it goes. I'm just going to shut up and try to work harder and try to be more productive. Well, you know what? When somebody says that, it's like calling you a communist or calling you a Marxist or calling you this and that. That term is designed to stop debate. It's designed to stifle debate and get us to accept the status quo. And I say to people out there, if by rightfully pointing out the fact that millionaires and billionaires are paying a lower effective tax rate than me and Justin, by rightfully pointing out the fact that our deficits and debt are being driven by the top 1%, and corporations are paying next to nothing in taxes while exhausting our commons, if that makes me a class warrior, then that's a badge I wear with honor, my friend. I am not a class warrior. I am a class warrior like Robert Reich. And I'll tell you something. If we want to talk about class warfare in America, all we have to do is look at the Republican Party, which continually tells us that public workers are lazy. You have this fat slob governor, this heart attack waiting to happen, this fat slob Governor Christie here in New Jersey, saying that we become a nation sitting on the couch waiting for our government checks. You want to talk about class warfare? Look to Governor Christie. You want to talk about class warfare? Look at someone like Rick Scott in Florida who wants to drug test unemployed people. It's disgusting, Justin.
It is. It really is, Bob. It makes me sick to my stomach sometimes, brother. It really does. And, you know, when they tell us to shut up, that's when we need to speak our minds and make a difference, because we are not shutting up, at least not on this program.
Well said, my brother. We are not shutting up. And you know what? That is why I do this show every week. This is why we do this show every week. There's no billionaire behind us. There's no chamber of commerce. There's no aggressive businessman looking to sponsor us and make money, because if we get our way, his taxes go down and his business is able to have more control. He's able to have more control. We are doing this because this is the right thing to do. It's right economically. It's right morally. And you know what? I got to tell you, Justin and I, we have all the answers. Do we not, Justin? Do we not have all the answers on this program?
We do. We do. All the people have to do is listen and react.
That's right. Listen to what we're saying. React by, getting involved, putting pressure on your local officials and enacting change. We're going to take a break here on Carson's Corner on Underground Progressive Radio, 5:30 a.m. and streaming live on Blog Talk Radio. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show. And hope you're having a good time out there. We'll be back.
Questions we have as we grow, it's hard to find answers to what we don't know, but sometimes there's someone to whom we can turn to teach us life lessons, help us to learn just what's important and what matters most, much more than our teacher, and we call them coach. Right there to guide us when we need a hand. They reach deep inside us and help us to stand, to lead by example in words and in deeds, and show us the courage we need to succeed. And I stand before you, I'm proud to boast, I'm one of the many who's learned from the coach. To never surrender your hopes or your dreams. how you measure a soul. The road that you travel, the choices you make, the load that you carry, the chances you take. We raise our glasses and offer this toast to one who will always be known as the coach, to one who will always be known.
What a touching song by Tony Luke Jr. He's a good friend of the show.
You there, Bob?
We're back live here on Carson's Corner. I apologize for that dead air. And that was the great Tony Luke Jr., who's a bit of a friend of the program here with a very, very emotional and inspiring song, Coach. And you know, who could disagree with the message of that song? We all need a coach. We all do. And I want to encourage everybody to listen to Justin Ray Harvey's interview with Tony Luke Jr., the great actor and the musician. It is on – it's actually on this website. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner, you could see Justin's wonderful – you can hear Justin's wonderful interview with the great singer of that song, Coach, Tony Luke Jr.
Absolutely, Bob.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we're just about out of time here. I want to thank Lee Camp for coming on the show. I encourage you to visit his website at leecamp.net and check out his Moments of Clarity. We will be broadcasting them every week here on Carson's Corner. And I want you to check out J-Ray's radio show. J-Ray's got a lot of things going on, a lot of huge guests that are going to be chatting with him over the airwaves in the next couple of weeks. And before I get to that, I just want to remind everybody that Carson's Corner will be on a new radio station. And J-Ray has more on that. And J-Ray, just give the listeners out there the new radio station we're going to be on and some information about how they can listen to your other radio show.
Okay. It is called Speak Your Mind Radio. I'm not sure on the website yet. It's a brand new station that's just come out for people with disabilities to raise awareness of disabilities, also for the missing and abducted. So it's a really, really great cause, and I'm just happy to be a part of the team, and I know that Bob is too, and it's just it's amazing and everything. So, and you can always listen to my shows on J-Ray Radio, as always, or you can go to Speak Your Mind Radio and listen to the shows.
We will. We will. I constantly urge my audience of both this show and the MMA show to listen to Justin's great shows. He recently interviewed Tommy Morrison, the heavyweight fighter, and also, I guess, co-star of Rocky V. That was a great film. And Tommy was on there with Justin for about a half hour. And you can listen to that on Justin's website. As for me, you can follow me at Facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA and Twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And you can listen to this show in its entirety on my website, BobCarson13.Podomatic.com. I encourage everybody to donate. Hit the PayPal button, for crying out loud, and donate to these two proletarian warriors who are battling the very wealthy at every chance we get. You owe it to us. You owe it to society. This is part of our taxpayer, whatever. We need taxpayer dollars. This is a public service we're offering here. This show is, I can think of no better example of a public service than this radio show right here, and that's why. Think of it as paying taxes. It's your patriotic duty to support Carson's Corner at 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen,
show some
respect. We'll be back at you next week. Take care, Justin.
Take care, Bob.
Bye-bye.